Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
I'm going to read you the menu. It's fantastic.
So we get better flavour because of the fen soil.
I've drunk more beer since I came here and bought my two barrels than I've ever done in my life before, I think.
I shouldn't have said almonds. They don't make it from almonds.
So you've got this big sticky mess when you start off.
Pizza pot pies.
My wife's cakes are excelling at hot cakes. Brilliant, thank you.
The time is right for this sort of thing.
Food is everything.
Cambridge is right for this sort of thing.
What's it like? Condicious.
Good afternoon and welcome to Flavour, and we are packed full of food and drink news and stories for the Cambridge area. I'm Matt Bentman, and here's Alan Alder and Sue Bailey to tell you what's on today.
Yeah, these are fascinating times for food and drink. There is so much inventiveness and development going on. Claire and Scott of the Market Square Coffee and Cake Stall have a very popular new menu item which they'll be talking about. And Orleans Kitchen has had another successful food and music night. There's so much around that is good to consume, and there are some really good food-related events coming up too. And we cover a lot of them in our news section today.
But it's also a very challenging time for people in the food industry. Jackie Sutton-Adam of the Cambridge Cheese Company discusses the effects of the new charge the government is making on some food imports, whilst Neil Baradwa talks about what he had to do to protect his fruit business from the effects of COVID.
It's also Good to Grow Week, and we have Dave Fox advising on the perennial problem of weeds and what to do with them.
And we start with COVID. When the first lockdown began in March 2020, I remember speaking with Alex Rushmer at Vanderlaal Restaurant on Mill Road. Nobody was allowed inside the restaurant, so how do you keep the business running? Well, you adapt. You adapt quickly. Alex and his team organised takeaway meals with pickup points so customers could collect their orders from Vanderlaal's front door every hour on the hour. They managed more covers per day than they ever did serving food inside the building, in fact.
Similarly, with the government about to close pubs and bars, Calverley's Breweries told us how they quickly set up an online shop so they could take orders and deliver their beer by bicycle to customers around the city. And they also put their beer into cans rather than bottles, making it easier to deliver large amounts in one go.
But what do you do when your customers are in office buildings or schools and so on, and those places are suddenly all in lockdown? Well, that's what happened to this man.
So my name is Neil Baradwa. I've run the Cambridge Fruit Company for the last 18 years right here in central Cambridge. And we provide fresh fruit to offices and workplaces across Cambridge, as well as restaurants, pubs, cafes and primary schools. So COVID was really tough because for the first 14, 15 years of running the business, it was, do you know what, dare I say, it was quite comfortable. We had our regular customers and we'd got our fruit and veg up from London and we supplied all the offices across Cambridge with fresh fruit boxes. But then COVID hit. My emails were going off like crazy from all our customers. We supplied about 100, 150 offices across Cambridge with fresh fruit. Everybody working from home, my emails were going crazy. Can we cancel the fruit? Can we cancel the fruit? Cancel the fruit? Cancel the fruit? And the schools as well, of course. I was supplying primary schools and that was reduced orders as well. I genuinely thought I'd lost my business. I was worried like hell. I was in tears and I was tweeting my whole journey, my whole process. So in the 14, 15 years prior to that, I had never delivered to customers, to homes. It was all business to business. So it was that night, with the help of my next door neighbour, who was a web designer, we didn't know what to do. So this is the other thing. This is why it took off so well on Twitter. I didn't know what to do in terms of helping the public. So I said, right, here's what I'm going to do. I'll do a large fruit and veg box for families, and I'll do a small fruit and veg box for couples. And that seemed to be okay. And I remember at the time we did the large box for 30 quid and the small box for 15 quid. And it was a mixture of fruit and veg in there. And I remember as we were developing the site, my email started pinging off again. And these were orders coming through one or two nights before the lockdown. So orders were coming through. And I remember crying. I remember thinking, what on earth is going on? But here's the key thing that happened that night, one of the main twists. I call him a friend. I've never met him in real life, but I've got a Twitter follower and I follow him. His name is Jim Osman and he's based in New York and he writes for Forbes. He ordered 5 large fruit and veg boxes. And I was like, hang on a minute. I said, Jim, you live in New York. I can't deliver 5 large, I think we called them family boxes. I can't deliver 5 family boxes to you. What on earth are you doing? They said, give those 5 boxes to families that will need them. And at that point, it just blew up completely. We started getting orders from New Zealand, I remember the Middle East. People were saying, can you please send boxes to my parents who live in Cambridge? Here's the other thing as well. So can you please send this fruit box to the NHS, to the staff that are going to need it? It sounds daft, but over the years, I live a fairly comfortable life. If I said to you, can you go and deliver something to a vulnerable family, would you know where to go? No, so I didn't either. Do you just go and knock on a door and say, hey, you need this fruit and veg? This is kind of rude, right? So you don't do that. So I put another tweet out. I said, look, how do I find vulnerable families here in Cambridge? So I tweeted Alex Collis, who was the deputy mayor at the time, and she's very well known and she's so helpful to the community. She's a real giver. And she said, contact, there's a small and vital charity based right in CB4, which is where we're based, and they're called the Red Hen Project, and they help vulnerable families. And then the next morning, they were there. They turned up and we had, I think we probably had about 20 or 30 boxes of fruit and veg that they came along and they put it tucked away in the back of their car and they went off and delivered them. Now this went absolutely crazy for about the next probably 3 to 6 months. Even now we still get donations 4 years on for the Red Hen Project. But at that time we ended up delivering something like 2,000 boxes for the Red Hen Project we received donations for, and then also the NHS as well. We were doing fruit boxes and they were delivering every Thursday afternoon. We're going to Adam Brooks and Papworth, delivering the fruit boxes that all our customers had donated for the nurses and the doctors and the departments. And it's great because they still remember it as well. They still remember the time that Papworth Hospital just emailed me about something else recently. They said, yep, we remember your fruit from when we did all that during COVID. And then, as I said before, I tweet everything. So the local press picked up on it, journalists picked up on it. I was on the news, I was in the local papers, the local press, I was on the national news. It was insane, absolutely insane. So after about a year to 18 months, the home delivery started to tail off. Because as the supermarkets reopened again, people went back to their old habits of, you know, ordering online, Waitrose, Ocado, Tesco's, Asda, whatever. So we've actually found things quite challenging. It's quite difficult. And at the same time, the offices and the workplaces weren't fully back yet. And even now, they still aren't. Again, if you cast your mind back a few years, home working wasn't... The odd few people might have worked from home, but it wasn't a thing like it is now. And now, everybody, you know, does some kind of hybrid working. It's only really the laboratories and the solicitors' offices that are full. And so now things are a little bit more challenging. But at least our profile has been raised and everybody, way more people now know who the Cambridge Fruit Company are. But the other thing as well, let's not forget, there is a real strong sense of community spirit here in Cambridge, a real strong sense of we've got to continue supporting our local producers, providers, we've got to support family businesses and independent businesses, and that still really thrives here. And you can see that by sort of examples like Mill Road today, for example, just as you mentioned Vandalar. There is a real sense of spirit here that we must support the smaller businesses, which is fantastic.
And that was Neil Baradwa of the Cambridge Fruit Company giving a rather breathless explanation of how his business managed to steer its way through the lockdown period of COVID. And as he says, so many offices still haven't returned to normal functioning. I was sent home in March 4 years ago. My whole department's still home working. But what I found interesting with Neil was how his business adapted in ways that he didn't expect. Taking a business that, on the face of it, you'd think would perhaps be the first to collapse in a lockdown. Instead, his business thrived in different ways, and it's still going great guns now. I recorded that piece with Neil just this week, before he was about to give a big talk about surviving lockdown. You can find the Cambridge Fruit Company online at cambridgefruitcompany.com, and the Twitter account that helped get him through it all is Cam's Fruit Co.
And now details of free food available in and around Cambridge. The information about what's available and where to get it comes from the Olio app, and that exists so that people's or businesses' surplus food doesn't go to waste.
That's right, and today's look at Olio for Cambridge shows us that Jing, off Hills Road near the little Petra restaurant, he's collected some Tesco bread items and still has packs of oven-bottom muffins and large wholemeal baps. They both come in packs of 3 and are available for collection after 4:30 p.m. today. This one's outside the city, this next one. Sage, who lives near Duxford, has a variety of things. Several pepperoni pasta pots, several onion bhaji wraps, some rice and onion chutney pots, Sicilian veggie baguettes, and two cheese and tomato subs, all available to anyone who wants to pick them up. Next up is Dee in King's Hedges, has four bottles of maple chilli jam, whilst Maxine off Cherry Hinton High Street has a collection of sauces and condiments, including Tabasco, satay and green chilli sauce to give away. And finally, Alicia in Arbury is giving away a potted mint sprig. Actually, she says she's got two because it's been growing so fast and she doesn't need that much mint in her life. But for anyone who wants to know, who doesn't know what a mint sprig is, it's the fresh shoot, the stem and at least three or more leaves of the mint plant. And that is our brief look at what free food is available on the Olio app today.
And there's another free app called Too Good To Go, which has unsold food from restaurants and shops, often at less than half price. And rather than specifying each leftover item, the surplus food is simply packaged as a magic bag, ready for you to take home, instead of it being binned at the end of the day's trading.
Yeah, and regular donors to this scheme include Marks & Spencer at the Cambridge Station, Greggs in Cherry Hinton, Nines Global Buffet, Namaste, Aldi in Histon Road, Pret's Upper Crust at the station, the Co-op in Sawston, Al Pomodoro, Hotel Divan and various others. So it's worth checking out.
Can I just say, did you say before that someone was giving away onion bhaji?
Onion bhaji wraps.
Yeah, yes.
Pre-made.
I've never heard of them.
Oh, well, sounds interesting. Why don't you go and try them?
Have you heard of them? Am I just behind the times?
No, I suppose it's just
onion bhaji wraps.
Maybe they're only popular in Duxford.
Setting the pace, as always.
Well, on to our first news section now, and we start with the good news that North Stow Tap and Social is now fully open. The alcohol licence has been granted. The beers are flowing. The bakery is baking. Coffees are being poured. Gluten-free cakes from Honest to Goodness Cakes are being eaten. And Steak and Honour is flipping. All sorts are happening, so well done to them for getting it all underway.
Yes, indeed. Tawa Bites in Hills Road has a whopping 50% off comfort bowls between now and the 2nd of May for walk-ins and website orders only.
Mm. And then on the 26th of April, local chef and friend of flavour Rosie Sykes has another supper club at the Canteen in Southwold, featuring recipes from her new book, Every Last Bite. Tickets are £55, and that includes a welcome drink, a snack and a three-course meal. Reservations can be made at info@oldhospitalcanteen.co.uk.
Stir Bakery and its Green Street neighbours are having a promotional weekend on the 26th to the 28th of April with special offers and free samples.
Jennifer Marshall of Sourdough Hub, the ex-international pianist turned baker who supplies places like Meadows, Victor Victoria, London Grade Coffee and Harvey's, and who you can hear on our podcast of the 24th of February, is opening her bakery in Newmarket on the first and third Saturdays of each month, starting on the 4th of May. And on sale will be various breads, donuts, cinnamon rolls, cakes and meat pies. Coffee will be available once the machine has been installed.
And on the 4th of May at the Gog Farm Shop, in the Shack in fact, there is a wandering beef fest. It's a family-style nose-to-tail Sunday roast with a welcome drink and a talk on conservation grading and Belt of Galloway cattle. The food is roast forerib, braised chin, cheek and tail pie, heart, liver and kidney faggots, smoked short rib and brisket, and they're served with bone marrow gravy, fresh horseradish and seasonal vegetables. There's also a Neil's Yard cheese board. Drinks which are extra are some small production, low intervention wines and local craft beers from Brewboard, and the cost is £65.
Cafe at Highgate, which is in Willingham, has some special evenings coming up. On the 10th and the 11th of May, it's Greek night from 6 till 10 p.m. On the 24th of May, a celebration of lamb. And on the 15th of June, French food and wine with Chef Ben Sulston. Bookings are being taken now, and the menus and other details are on the Cafe at Highgate website.
And on the 28th of May, from 7 till 10 p.m, there is a tasting of Spanish and Portuguese cheeses at the Hop and Grain store in Regent Street. That's all for now. More news later.
Yeah, I was in the Market Square a little while ago and noticed that the Market Square coffee and cake stall has started selling burnt Basque cheesecake, which I thought really looked good, as in fact all their cakes do. So I tried some and I really would recommend it. And I asked Scott, who does the coffees on the stall and who bakes the cheesecake too, all about it and about the coffee.
We started doing it in February when we came back from our winter break. Yeah, it's our newest cake.
And is it going well?
It's going brilliantly.
How well's that?
Better than expected, actually. Yeah, it's first week we brought out one cake, and it did really well. And then the next week, so we did two, and then up until now we are now doing four every weekend. We're only here for 2 days a week. So
yeah.
On the Friday and Saturday, we couldn't have imagined it going better. Really, it's got a good following. Right. Cheesecake.
Did it take long to get it right?
It didn't. No, it didn't actually. A little bit of tweaking with the vanilla. But other than that, it came out pretty good straight away.
I've got a very good recipe.
Yeah.
Well, I must say, I had some a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago, actually, and I'm not normally a fan of cheesecake, but it is. There's something different about
it. There is, yes. It's not like your traditional cheesecake with the biscuit base. It has no biscuit base, and it's a lot creamier.
I think that's probably what I like about it.
It's got kind of like sourness to it, because we use cream cheese in it. So, sour cream in it. So it gives it a bit of a... kind of a nice bite to it.
And also you get a good size, you get a good amount of it.
You do, yes. You get a good portion size.
Yeah, portion size.
As most of our cakes on this,
it's becoming a fashion.
Yes,
really.
It has. I tried it recently, last year, probably in London I think it was, and I loved it. It has got a bit of a following, so I thought I'd give it a go. It's gone from strength to strength.
I'm not surprised, actually. I must say, while I'm here, I had some of your coffee yesterday, which I really enjoyed. Where's that from?
It's from the Algerian coffee store. They've been giving us their
coffee. Where's that?
It's in Soho in London.
Oh, right.
And they've been producing coffee there since 1887. So they kind of know what they're doing. And they've been giving us a blend for a long time, since 25 years. The same blend that they actually have in their store. So if you go to the Algerian coffee store in London, you can just get an espresso from them.
Right.
And it's very successful. People love it.
It's great. How did you come across the Algerian coffee store in Soho?
Well, I took over this business from somebody else 7 or 8 years ago, so I inherited it from them.
Right.
And we have such a good relationship with the guys down in London that, you know, and we love their coffee, so we've never really changed.
Right. Okay. Well, you're quite a special place on Cambridge Market.
Yeah, it is. We have a big following.
Great. That's good. Okay. Thanks, Scott, very much.
That's a very popular stall run by Claire, who does most of the baking, and Scott. And I must say that it's very pleasing that such a good stall is so popular. They're there on Fridays and Saturdays from about 8:30 to 4 o'clock, Market Square Coffee and Cake. And in fact, you know, I was so impressed by the coffee that yesterday, when I was in London yesterday, I went to the shop, the Algerian coffee store, which is in Old Compton Street, which is the place for...
That's worth knowing.
Yeah. And it's what an extraordinary shop it is. It's got so many different types of coffee on the shelves. There's these glass jars full of beans, and some of them are just like a... There's a whole range of colours, you know, but some of them are like a shiny black ivory bean.
Ooh.
You know, they're just wonderful.
Wow.
Anyway, I bought some Algeria. They have all sorts, as I said, of single country bean and blends as well. So I bought some special Algerian, which I haven't yet tried. Mm-hmm. But on the bag, it said that the shop was founded in 1887 by the enigmatic Mr. Hassan, an Algerian purveyor of fine goods. To this day, the store still features the authentic 19th century wooden shop counters, bespoke shelving and fine display cupboards.
I love that sort of place. I love it. Oh, thank you. I'm going to go visit. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I'm going to sort of gradually work my way through their coffee. Mm. So, you know, they must have... I've never seen so many coffees. In my life.
You know, all these years, I didn't know you were a coffee buff, Alan.
Oh, I love coffee. Yeah, I do. I don't often get a coffee which is absolutely superb.
Mm.
But when you do, it's just...
It's well worth it.
It's just bliss in a cup.
Ha! Exactly.
I just picked up a Bialetti mocha pot from Olio, of all places.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Very loyal.
Only a fiver. Brand new as well. It's really good. So I've just been... And I've been watching videos on YouTube of how to make the perfect cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. I used to have an Italian mocha pot before, and I've always been making it the wrong way, at least according to the YouTube videos.
Hey.
Very specific ways of how to make it. And now I'm kind of trying to make the perfect cup of coffee, you know, without the bitterness, with just the right smoothness and everything. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Well, I think those mocha pots are good. Yeah.
They're good. Yeah, they are.
Let me know.
Now, this next piece is something that I've been waiting probably several months for, as last week, a local cafe got to break out the decks and spin some vinyl, whilst grills, griddles and saucepans served up wraps, patties and rasta pasta.
Listen to this. All the various cafes around town, they've all got their own certain something, and some really ramp up when they get the music going. And that's why I'm here today at Orleans Kitchen Cafe in the town centre. It's the first proper day of good weather, the sun's out and the tunes are on. And at Orleans Kitchen, they have called today Strictly Vinyl. Half a dozen or so DJs playing well into the evening.
Hi, welcome to Orleans Kitchen. Can you feel the vibes?
It's a day of Caribbean food and live DJs.
Yes, people, Fence Stepper, Live and Direct, down at Orleans Kitchen representing. You might have heard me, I might have recognised me from the hip-hop show 105, back at 105 Station itself.
It's all here at the Guildhall.
Yeah, Orleans Kitchen. I've come in and I can see the row of patties, different style Caribbean patties, which is what my eyes are glued to at the moment. I'm excited for that.
Indeed, yeah, cool. So,
one of the other DJs here today is Joe Waller. Joe's good friends with the Orleans Kitchen Cafe crew, and he runs an electrical maintenance business for the Science Park. One of the companies on that site lets unit spaces here at the Guildhall in town.
They said there is a great opportunity coming up with this unit. Do you know anyone that wants to take it? And throughout the lockdown, Leon was doing the chicken wings out of Milton Foot Golf, smashing it, having cars and cars turning up at night. And I thought to myself, there's only one man to take on this opportunity, Leon and his mum. They've come in doing an incredible job. Both got a massive passion for music, especially Jamaican music, Jamaican food. So this is why we're doing the collaborations. We're going to eventually get him to the studio as well to get him on the jerk pans and get his food going at the highest quality it can be. Yeah, positive future all around, to be honest. A lot of people from the vinyl community in Cambridge have been coming through. They're free events as well. Yeah, and even better when you've got great food on the side, and that's what we're trying to sort of collaborate in.
And your set's just about to start, so
indeed.
Good luck, Joe.
Yeah, thank you very much. Nice to chat.
Wonderful food and wonderful music today.
Orleans Kitchen Cafe first set up around Christmas 2022.
I joined with Leon and started to cook the West Indian Thai food, curry goat.
He kicks me out of your kitchen first because you're getting annoyed with the amount of people that were coming to the house and knocking on the door and whatnot. Just me frying food in your kitchen. I was like, oh, look, Mum, I've got an actual kitchen now. You know, if I do all the fried food side of things, do you want to come in with the like Caribbean, Jamaican cuisine? She was like, yeah, good idea. And then, yeah, that's how it all started.
Then we fast forward to last Saturday.
This is Orleans Kitchen Cafe, After Dark, Strictly Vinyl event.
When I first met you, I remember you telling me how your vision of this place was to be like a mixture of cafe and live music.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a slow burn, but I think as I'm getting older, for things that I really want to do and I want them to last, you've got to just take time. And I think timing's everything. And Saturday happened, I think, exactly how it's supposed to. I mean, I'm smiling. I hope you can hear it in my voice. And it was really nice that there was just a wave of people that obviously come through Pease Hill.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, you're going to a restaurant or you're coming from the market square, and the music just drew people in. A couple of hen parties came through as well. It was just, every time I looked up, I'm like, oh, okay, it's like a new sort of wave of people. The food was on point. We had jerk chicken, jerk pork, we had curry goat, and we just did like little rice bowls, so quick and easy.
Yeah.
A little bit cheaper than like your full portion that you'd get. And I think it worked really, really well. We had a nice array of like Jamaican patties as well, which was cool. Rum punch on the go too.
Yeah, I was wondering about how the food changes when it comes to doing a music day and whether it's something that kind of tweaks over time.
Yeah, I think when it comes to food, full stop. We're not really like a sit-down restaurant kind of place, but on an evening like that, I just wanted to somehow have everything that was fresh, hot.
Yeah.
Luckily, we've got like a good sort of like pie warmer, so the patties were good to go. And the main thing was just having kind of the meat nice and fresh. We got hot plates, which worked well. The rice was warm. And then I had slaw and fresh salad to go along with it. So it felt like we were able to get it out quite quickly. And I kind of want to do more. Well, just serve food like that a little bit more, to be fair.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of like. Because as well as the music and the energy and the vibes, it's also the aroma in the air too,
yeah.
Which I think really drew people. And a lot of people go, oh, I wasn't going to eat anything, but just the smell. And I was just like, exactly. You know, it's like in the morning when we're here cooking the bacon. It just, I'm telling you, the whiff of it just draws people in. Like, so
oh, yeah.
It's quite funny, the same thing. I think on Saturday, to be fair, which was great. And the people that I know who know good Jamaican food as well, to hear them say how much they enjoyed it, I think was even nicer, really. And especially for my mum as well, because on this occasion she did predominantly most of the sort of main bulk cooking. And even though we were tired, we were both just so kind of pleased with how it went. Yeah. So yeah, it was good. A massive shout out to Professor Kenny Monroe's, Professor of Sociology at Wolfson College. His DJ name's Bigger M. He came and just blessed the place. When I saw my mum shaking her leg when he was playing his records, that's when I knew he was doing a good job.
It was great to catch up with you, Leon.
Always good to speak to you, my man. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
And you're listening to Flavour on Cambridge 105 Radio. You know, one of the really nice things about recording with people over the years is hearing the passion in their voice when they really achieve their goal. Leon was really busy on Saturday, and he admitted that he was very stressed at the time. But afterwards, he was so happy about the way the day went. And it's that trifecta of events, music and food, that is truly what he loves. And Leon's got plans too, including an event in May and a Windrush event in June. Even though Leon was born in London, his parents are from Jamaica. And it's going to feature different Caribbean foods on the menu, foods that may remind his intended audience of their younger years, perhaps. And also, sociology professor Kenny from Wolfson College, a.k.a. Bigger Monroe, will be DJing the whole day too. And that's all at Orleans Kitchen Cafe at the Guildhall on Peas Hill, right next to Cambridge Market, in other words, and it's a great venue for the summer. And, you know, the other thing that caught my eye whilst I was there, Cafe Aromi and Jack's Gelato, their ice cream windows have queues outside day and night. The reason I mention this is because I had an old housemate who studied at Oxford, and he was always complaining that there were no ice cream parlours here like there were back in his hometown. But now we've got Aromi, Jack's Gelato, Verrecchia's Ice Cream, which has been here for decades, admittedly, a Bennett's Ice Cream on King's Parade, and I'm pretty sure there's more than that, too.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. We're having a short break now for a refresh. I don't know, maybe a sprint round Mill Road Cemetery. You're not keen, Sue?
No? OK, no.
OK, let's do it. So see you in 2 minutes, if we make it back in time. And if we do, we'll be finding out whether specialist cheeses might be disappearing from the shelves because of government charges.
Ooh.
Yeah, well. And allotment here and flavour regular, Dave Fox, will be talking about weeding and composting. There's also plenty more news, a social media update and our job section. See you in two.
Cambridge 105 Radio. Monday on Cambridge 105 Radio, Paul Cristoforo brings you Rock of Ages. Paul takes you back to the Cambridge venues that hosted the greats and hears from guests from the local music scene.
So what I've found over the years is there are little networks of musicians all over Cambridge, and gradually they've joined up and we've all got to know each other.
Rock of Ages, Monday at 9 p.m. on Cambridge 105 Radio and at cambridge105.co.uk.
On Saturday the 15th of June, listen to the sound of brass as the Littleport Band perform in the timeless setting of Ely Cathedral. You'll hear jazz, big band, classical and traditional brass band, and featuring international trumpet virtuoso Mike Lovett, whose work includes Harry Potter, James Bond and many of the Marvel movies. Littleport Band at Ely Cathedral on Saturday the 15th of June. Tickets are just £10 and under 10s are free. To book, visit elycathedral.org.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Well, that was a quick run. And welcome back to Flavour, Food and Drink for Cambridge. Time for a bit more news now. There's no Finboy's Fish Hut at the Gog Farm Shop this weekend. It's being rebuilt and will be bigger and be able to host workshops and demonstrations, but it will be reopening soon.
And here's some very good news. Van der Lyle in Mill Road has a small shop in its restaurant selling Cotswold Gold Truffle Mayonnaise, the last of their homemade marmalade, tote bags and some Van der Lyle granola. You can pop in when they're working, doing their preparations during the day, or get what you want when you're dining there in the evening.
Alex of Bagelbox has a bagel making masterclass on the 26th of May, which is beginning at 9:30 a.m. And the session will be lasting about 2 hours.
Greystone's coffee shop in Duxford is reopening soon, following a burst water pipe and a bit of a flood back in January, and they also have a couple of job positions available too, details of which will be in our job section towards the end of the programme.
This is Good to Grow Week, and as part of it, you're invited to Sweet Pea Market Garden in Caxton on the 25th of April from 5 to 7pm to do some weeding. You've heard of speed dating. This is called weed dating.
Speed weeding. Mm.
And apparently, because when you're weeding, you chat to the people around you, so it's like...
That's true.
And there's lots of them, so it's like speed dating, but weed dating. It's all very clever. That's thanks to Susanna from Meadows for pointing all of this out, by the way. Gloves and tools are provided, but please take your own if you have them. It's a great opportunity to meet new people and have a good chat. And there's wine, soft drinks and nibbles provided, and salads and seedlings are available to buy. Sorry, can I just add something else, which I just remembered? We talked about Alex Rushmer before from Vanderlyle. Do you know he was on television on, I think it was Thursday night? There's a sort of meet-up of some of the MasterChef winners. Mm. So he was on BBC, don't know what, BBC One, 2, on Thursday night. So it's available on iPlayer.
Oh, good on him. And Flourish vegetable boxes are now available to collect from two Cambridge locations. They're Barbarella on Chesterton Road and Finboy's on Mill Road. And the deadline for ordering is each Wednesday at 5pm. The team at Flourish harvest the crops on the Thursday and you can pick the box up from Friday morning. And in addition to Barbarella and the Finboys, you can also get your box from Flourish itself. The Refill Barn in Radwinter and Mimi Miss Upstairs in Saffron Walden. And there are three places in North London and one in South London. Details are on the Flourish website.
And a little bit more news from Flourish, because Off the Beaten Truck will be at the farm next Saturday with Steak and Honour and Gorilla Kitchen from 12 to 3pm. And there will be pop-up market stalls from 10 till 4, and that's in Hildesham.
And over to Congratulations Corner now, and in Congratulations Corner, and not for the first time, is Restaurant 22, the only Cambridgeshire restaurant to appear in the Estrella Damm National Restaurant Awards.
Now, in the last episode, we mentioned in the news about the common user charge. This is a charge that will be introduced on the 30th of April for the importation of animal products and plants. Fees of up to £145 per package of even a small consignment will be levied, and it will hit small businesses particularly. These charges could cover items such as sausages and cheeses. Cheeses. Jesus. If there's two things that you don't take away from a stout-hearted Englishman or woman, it's their right to community radio and cheese. And no sooner had I finished my lunch and my afternoon nap than I was right down the Cambridge Cheese Company in All Saints Passage to check with owner Jackie Sutton-Adam on the now encumbered passage of my favourite Bavarian blues passage to my passage. In short, what are the implications of these new charges on the cheese shop and us, the cheese customer?
In practice, based on the last 2 years of changes since we had to start registering as an importer of cheeses, we have seen price increases. I think we're going to see some smaller niche products will be harder for our European suppliers to source and deliver the paperwork on time and in the correct order. Mm. So a lot of those tiny little producers, whether they're cheesemakers, fishermen, sausage makers, some of those people may just kind of throw up their hands and say, do you know what, I can't be bothered to do all this paperwork and extra admin just to service the UK market. So we might see some losses. But those suppliers will be working really hard, I'm sure, to find other producers that can deliver a similar kind of product.
Lancashire?
No.
White Stilton?
No.
Double Gloucester?
No.
Cheshire?
No.
Any Dorset Blue Vineyard?
No.
Yeah, of course, the other change that we almost certainly will see is that the very successful and very vibrant British cheese industry will definitely be looking to mop up any shortfalls in missing cheeses from Europe. Yeah, more and better cheeses from the UK are definitely an option. Big cheeses, the big famous cheeses of Europe, the Parmesan and the Beauforts and the Contes, those will always be resolutely from those places. Mm. And although we can make good imitations, they'll never be the same. But, you know, we don't know what's coming down the line, do we? We might be at a stage in the not-too-distant future for where even the thought of bringing over anything from Southern Europe might be technically and physically very difficult. climate change, for example. You know, we might be having summers where 42 degrees, cheese is going to struggle, and it's going to be very expensive to keep that refrigerated across a process of shipping from down there to up here. So pragmatically, we might find that a good, vibrant British cheese market is a very good thing. Mm. I mean, I think it is anyway, so yeah. Just in the last couple of weeks, I've done a German cheese order and a Dutch cheese order. And Holland is a place where they make fantastic cheeses, and it's a large part of their export market. And the process for me ordering has been relatively simple. On the other hand, in Germany, a much smaller exporter, and his territory of cheesemakers is spread out across the southern half of Germany in Bavaria and into Austria. Mm. And they have a number of different veterinary departments who are responsible for doing the certification, which is currently required, each of whom has round trips of around 90 kilometres plus to get to the point of production where they can do the examination and the tests to certify the cheese and then produce the certificate. So that all adds a lot of complexity.
Do you have substitutes for those Bavarian cheeses?
There are alternatives. They fit into the kind of Swiss Gruyere cheeses, and I've got a couple of suppliers that I'm looking at now thinking, well, OK, I might just explore what Swiss cheeses are like. But, you know, I do that with my heart in my mouth because, you know, sorting out the German issue takes more than a few months. Mm. By the time it is sorted out, I may not have a market for I'll have to restart building that market for our German cheeses, because people are still really very traditional in what they buy. They like to know what they buy. And while we like to think we're all, ooh, up for trying a new cheese and everything, that's true. But as a retailer, you have to work pretty hard to get a new cheese to have a loyal following. It doesn't just appear just because you've got customers in the shop. Mm. So all of that eats into your motivation for, yeah, OK, I'm going to order my German cheeses again. Oh, I've got to do 500 kilos. OK, how long is that going to take me? You know, there's all those kind of questions that we have to think about. So, yeah. So there is, I guess, there is an argument for perhaps combining with people who think they could sell German cheese or two. Mm. I would be so thrilled to be able to put together some kind of consortium and buy in a group in order to kind of go some way towards achieving a viable volume of cheese that we can bring over in the UK. I definitely think we should be paying attention to what's going on in the legislation, because our value is basically small scale production by people who really know their product and really care about what they're making. And I think the fact that we can bring those products to a fantastically diverse market in Cambridge is a great thing. And I don't want to see legislation change that makes it harder for me to bring in those beautiful products from Europe. If we value choice and we value small producers, we should definitely be paying attention.
Specialist cheeses. The friction caused by import charges may wipe out that specialist desire. Does it really matter that much?
Yeah, because it takes, I mean, you see how things, skill sets disappear in less than a generation when people stop making, I don't know what it is, lutes was the recent thing I was talking to somebody about. Apparently there wasn't a lute maker in the country for some years, and this weekend there was a guitar festival. And what's interesting is that the lutes, there's a company there exhibiting UK-made lutes, which is a new thing. Mm. And if you can lose technology, you can certainly lose the idea and the memory of a flavour. So, you know, when you hear your granny saying, oh, the bread we used to have from the bakers back in the day kind of thing, you know, pay attention, because she may just be sounding like your granny who's just off on a little memory blast there, but she has a point. Things do change. And if you have no memory of those things, if it's not your memory, that's a big step in losing what that thing was. Mm. So, yeah, important. So important to keep bringing those flavours and those examples of how people do things in other parts of the world, I think, to us, because, you know, it may not be around forever. So let's enjoy it while we can.
Regarding what Jackie said about the German importers, that really is quite a faff for them, isn't it? To find a vet in the country of origin, so a German vet in this case, to fill out a 7-page form giving assurances that the animal product, in this case cheese, is disease-free. Now, the exporter could say, I don't need this hassle. Therefore, we lose the product. We lose the flavour. Another bit of enjoyment disappears out of our lives due to red tape. And worse still, we collectively forget that it ever existed in the first place. Imagine erasing a colour from your mind. Imagine forgetting what maroon is, for example. So, this is what's happening to sausages and cheeses now. An article in The Guardian says that come October, the government will be adding more fruit and veg, like strawberries, apples, sweet potatoes, carrots, adding a further £200 million a year to the cost of importing this fruit and veg from the EU. And that could probably trickle down to consumers, causing more food inflation. So, what's the answer? Jackie suggested small businesses like hers grouping together to buy and minimise these charges. Or maybe produce and buy more British-made cheeses, more British-made fruits and veg. I mean, do we even have the land and the people to do that? We don't have enough strawberry pickers as it is, do we? Will there be a massive upsurge in the Grow Your Own movement? Will Dave Fox become the most important man in the country? Well, let's say yes, because he is going to be on in a few minutes, right here on Flavour on Cambridge 105 Radio. Don't forget to smile. It sounds better.
Well, actually, the Financial Times has just reported that the government would not turn on the checks on the 30th of April, another delay, in an attempt to avert delays because border systems were not fully ready. However, according to The Guardian's website, the government insisted the checks would be commencing on the 30th of April, but indicated they would be focusing on higher risk products, whether that includes German cheese, who knows, and scaling up checks on other products in a, quote, sensible and controlled way.
Oh, dear.
So we'll wait and see.
I guess the only thing they didn't confirm is which April.
Oh, well.
Cynic.
There's Supercharge with Wine, 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 and that leads us into the wine news. And at the Wine Rooms in Hills Road on the 25th of April, there is a Catena Alta and Malbec blending session. The Vineyard has sent over the Malbec components of their 2020 vintage, and you can help to blend the components to your own taste. What an unusual experience. On the 2nd of May, there is a tasting of rose wines. On the 16th of May, it'll be Tuscany and Central Italy. On the 6th of June, Syrah from around the world. On the 20th of June, South America, and the 18th of July, South African wines. And the tastings run from 7 to 8:30pm, and they are generally about £30.
At Amphora in Devonshire Road on the 24th of April, there's a tasting of young versus old wines in which you can taste how the flavours in wine change from fruity to savoury with notes of mushroom, earth, leather, cigar, or cigar box, rather, and other tastes.
And Wine Unearthed has a tasting at the Gonville Hotel on the 27th of April from 11 till 4, with 15 wines and a three-course lunch, and you learn about wine and food pairing too. It's £110, and tickets are available on Eventbrite.
Cambridge Wine Merchants has a Charles Heidsieck Masterclass on the 8th of May at 7pm for £55 per person. And a Torabeg Mossburn Gin Masterclass on the 31st of May at 8pm, which is £20 per person. Torabeg is the first new distillery on the Isle of Skye for nearly two centuries.
Cambridge Wine Merchants also has a summer wine fair at Cambridge Rugby Club in Grantchester Road, and that's on the 13th of June from 5 till 9pm. Tickets are £30 per person, and food isn't included, but local food vans will be in attendance, as will more than 120 wines.
And Meadows on Ross Street in the Mill Road corner has a bank holiday wine weekend on the 3rd and 4th of May, running from 4 till 8pm on the Friday, 12 till 4pm, and also 4 till 8pm on the Saturday. Tickets are £10 for the tasting. There'll be 12 bottles open, and you'll also be able to purchase wine by the glass or the bottle, and a selection of snacks if you wish to.
Now, as we said earlier, it's Good to Grow Week coming up, and if you're about to get underway growing your own fruit and veg, you may have to deal with a lot of weeds first. Not all crops are seriously affected by them, though, as Dave Fox of Trumpington Allotment points out.
So some crops don't mind too much about weeds. Potatoes, for example, so because they're really, really strong growers, they'll outcompete most weeds. So your potato patch doesn't need to be completely weed-free. Onions and carrots, on the other hand, they're a bit slower, thinner leaves. It's a good idea to have the patch as weed-free as possible with them. So what I would say about weeds is they're a resource, because you can use them to make compost. One of our new plot holders came over to me yesterday and said, look, what do I do? I've got a wheelbarrow full of weeds. Should I take them home, put them in the green bin? Is there anywhere communal I can disperse them? I said, no, of course not. No, you compost them. But what he had done is dig out large clods of weeds with the soil still adhering to the roots. And I would suggest that that's not going to compost down very well, because it's too dense and compact with the soil. So the way to do with that is do your weeding over several days. So lift the clumps of grass, dig the perennial roots out, and just leave them on the surface until your next visit, and then there'll be, you know, in that time there'll be some sun or some rain or some wind. There'll be something to remove most of the soil from the roots. So then just give them a shake, and then they can go in the compost heap. And that way you've kept the soil on your right. on your bed, which of course.
And does that apply to weeds like? People pronounce this in different ways, couch grass or couch grass.
Yes, couch grass is a bit nasty because it could regrow. It's got quite a strong root. That's the one that grows sideways and very close to the soil surface, but it's quite invasive. They can regrow from a compost heap, but I mean, if you see it regrowing in the compost, it doesn't matter. You just pull it out, kill it again. If you really want to kill off these pernicious weeds, and there's things like say bindweed is the bad one here on our allotments, but thistle, dock, even a self-seeded fennel can have quite a strong root. Calendula marigold in the second year can get quite strong. These are harder to compost and may regrow. If you really want to stop that, then there's two good ways of doing it. Either lay them out on a surface that's going to get hot and dry, and they kill them, or drown them, put them in a large bucket of water. And cause what you've got to do is remove at least one of the essential requirements for life.
Yes.
So, you know, dehydrate them or prevent them getting any air.
Suffocate them.
And suffocate them. Yeah, I mean, another way is to keep out all the light, isn't it? So this is why sometimes we put a large mulch mat down, like horticultural black plastic, and then take it up like 2 years later, you find coils and coils and coils of white bindweed that's been growing, just trying to find a way out, looking for light. And that was quite an effective way of removing bindweed, actually. I left some mulch on for 3 years, and that was really satisfying because the bindweed had gone after that. But that's a long-term project.
Yeah.
And when you're starting making compost, don't forget to gather up everything you possibly can. So shredded paper, kitchen scraps, not the cooked stuff, no meat. But
that attracts rodents.
Yeah, it can do, yeah. Eggshells, anything that was once living is compostable. Cardboard, a lot of people are getting cardboard boxes delivered these days,
yes.
So there should be lots of cardboard
yes.
available. Grass clippings, that's a big one.
Yeah.
So if you have a lawn that you mow, and if you don't, maybe you have neighbours who mow their lawn, well, ask them if you can have their grass clippings, give them some bags, give them some old compost sacks or something, and say, please fill these up for me, I'll come and get them. And then you mix that with the cardboard and the paper to get a nice sort of 50-50 mix of brown and green, carbon and nitrogen, that's the recommended mix. And the other thing to say about composting is you don't need to build a compost bin. You can just make a heap on the ground and start from there. The bigger it is, the warmer it will get, the faster it will go. But if you're worried about not having a compost heap, then just make a compost bin, then just make a heap on the ground. Where are you going to put that? Well, put it in the place that's least good for plants. So
if there's a hedge around,
a
put
hedge
in the shade
a,
of the hedge.
A dark corner, yeah, some somewhere in shade. Allow space for it and just see all these weeds and all that other stuff that comes from the household environment. It's a resource, don't waste it.
And thanks to Dave Fox for that excellent advice.
There's the music signalling time for news from social media.
Yeah, Bowl Brothers have been saying that they've got some coffee beans or grounds to take home some Burundi coffee. And the tasting notes are raspberry, citrus and maple. There's a wine and pizza tasting on the 21st of May at Scott's All Day. And the wine's being provided by the excellent Thorn Wines. That's £47.50. The old bicycle shop on the 2nd of May from 7 till 9 has a wine and cheese tasting evening. You can book on info@oldbicycleshop.com. That's all I've seen. Have either of you seen anything?
Yeah, I've got one. Just it's record store day today. I thought it was yesterday. I was listening to the radio. But anyway, it does mean that you should get yourself down to Relevant Records on Mill Road because they're both a record store and a cafe. So they do lots of great cakes and coffee. The place is run by Andy and Angie since about 2014, I think.
Yeah,
it's a really good place. It's a popular location.
And it's also Brunch Munch. Brunch Munch, I think I'm saying that right, all this month. So go and get your brunch. It's a good excuse to have brunch on a Saturday or a Sunday.
The month has gone. I've missed it.
Oh, I know. Oh, well.
You know, while we were looking at social media, I came across some postings from Felicity Cloak, who we can include on this programme because she was actually born in Cambridge.
Yes.
You know, she did that book.
Oh, yes, I interviewed her about it. One More Croissant for the Road,
oh,
I think.
That's the
yes,
one. Yeah. One More Croissant for the Road. And more recently, Red Sauce, Brown Sauce.
Yes.
And One More Croissant for the Road was her cycling around France sampling the food. Mm. And the other one was about going around Britain sampling the food. And now she's off to America to sample the food on her bicycle.
Mm.
Except
good on her.
That her Instagram posts became, I suppose, well, perhaps she was actually quite restrained, but she hadn't got her passport. I think she'd sent it off to get an American visa. Mm. And she was due to fly on, I think it was yesterday or the day before, but her passport hadn't come back, so she had to cancel.
Oh, golly.
And I think she's going next week now. But she also had to cancel a booking she had at Cafe Zuni in San Francisco. And that rather sort of stimulated
my
interest.
Yes, yeah.
Cafe Zuni. So I looked it up. And it's not cheap, you know, it's not cheap. But I was rather surprised that a bottle of water was $9, whereas a coffee, I think, was only $4, which seemed
a bit weird.
Unusual. And then, you know, you look down and the stuff isn't cheap. And then at the bottom it says an additional 20% will be levied for our fair pay policy. So that's like service
tips,
charge.
Yeah.
But 20% is more than we pay
normal,
in this country,
yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. And then underneath that, it says an additional 10% will be paid for local taxes. So what
good
is
grief.
Not a cheap, by any means, a cheap restaurant becomes really quite formidable. And it reminded me of when we talked to Finboys. You know, they went to California and took their staff there. And Richard Stokes from Finboys was saying how some of the restaurants they wanted to go to were just formidably expensive, like £400 a head.
What?
And the tasting flight of wines is compulsory. You have to have
good
it.
Grief.
There's no easing it if you don't. And, you know, we do get a lot of ideas from America, and I hope these things don't spread here.
I mean, that's outrageous. I mean, I would be asking for tap water, shall we say.
I wonder if they give you tap water. You know, I wonder
probably
if you're
not.
Shown the exit. Anyway, so Felicity Cloak is going to be worth following. She is anyway, but
a
trip
around
America would be very entertaining.
Excellent.
There's the regular sound of green onions with Booker T and the MGs that signals the start of our jobs section.
Sweet Pea Market Garden in Caxton is looking for someone who will join the team to do harvesting and packing on Tuesdays and Fridays.
There's a Tickle Arms Beer Festival on 24th to 26th of May, and it will feature live music, street food, a gin bar and, of course, beer. And that's in Whittlesford.
Next up, Mill Road Butchers is starting up a new business and is looking for a full-time cook or chef and assistant manager to work between 30 to 40 hours a week over 4 days. You can email them at greystonesduxford@gmail.com, and that is a grey spelt with an A.
Cambridge Sustainable Food has a vacancy for senior project manager. It's a full-time, one-year fixed-term contract with the potential for extension beyond that time. The salary is between £30,000 and £33,000 a year, and there's a job description on the Cambridge Sustainable Food website. The deadline is the 5th of May. Interviews are the 9th and 10th of May.
Little Piggy in Fenstanton is hiring a front-of-house team member to work on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, 10 till 2, and Sundays 9:30 to 4:30 with more shifts available. For more information and to apply, email events at littlepiggycatering.co.uk.
Small Town Bread is looking for a head baker at their Sawston bakery. To arrange a chat or further info, email hello@small-t.co.uk or contact them via Instagram direct message. There's a link in their bio for more info.
And Dolcedo's Social wants a sous chef, $36,000 a year, 37.5 to 45 hours. Apply at dolcedopatisserie@icloud.com.
And that brings us to the end of today's programme. Don't forget, we are here on alternate Saturdays at 12 noon, repeated Mondays at 6 p.m, and Thursdays at 2 p.m. We're also available as a podcast from all the usual places. Coming up next on Cambridge 105 Radio this afternoon is the Cambridge Music Mix. But that's all from us for today. We'll be back with plenty more food and drink news, jobs and features on the 4th of May.
Thanks very much for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.